Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 328 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Five Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying a first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. All right, well, I have a special guest joining me today. He is a former pitcher on the Indianola baseball team who went on to play at Iowa and is now on the cusp of making it to the major leagues with the Chicago White Sox. So we're going to talk about his baseball career, and we're also going to discuss his part-time job as a sports journalist with the Indianola Independent Advocate. He is Duncan Davitt. Duncan, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I do appreciate your time today. I know you've had a busy couple of months. You recently got married, and that happened right before you got named to the White Sox 40-man roster, which puts you, you know, just one step closer to the major leagues. So 2025 has been a good year for you, haven't it?
Like you mentioned, the 40-man happened all within about 4 days, so... Had a pretty good week going there. Meant to buy a Powerball ticket that week. Didn't get around to it. But no, it was a lot of fun. It's always a good experience when it's go your way like that.
Well, I want to talk about your baseball career before we dive into your interest in becoming a sports journalist. You had spent your entire professional career in the Tampa Bay Rays organization before you were acquired by the White Sox as part of the Adrian Houser deal at last summer's trade deadline. So what was your reaction when you got traded? Did you look at it like it was a positive development as far as maybe getting to the big leagues faster?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get traded, it kind of reiterates that somebody cares about you somewhere. And it's not always easy to tell when you're in pro ball whether somebody cares about you. So when you get traded, you know that somebody out there thinks you're worth something. And then obviously going from the Rays, who are very, very pitcher heavy in the organization as a whole, to the White Sox, where maybe they've had a few down years. The path is a little clearer in that way. So I always had a good reaction to it. It's obviously bittersweet because, like you mentioned, I've been in Tampa Bay the whole time I was in pro ball, so all of my friends in professional baseball were there. So I'll miss a lot of those guys, or miss seeing them every day. I stay in touch with a handful of them regardless, but just not getting to see or be around those guys as often is a little bit kind of bittersweet, knowing that, yeah, you'll go make friends at the new place, you have better opportunity potentially, but you still miss the guys you came up with.
We probably think, you know, at times that, hey, I could get traded at any time, but you maybe don't think about it like on a daily basis, but you know in the back of your mind that it's something that could happen. Was there any notice that maybe this might happen?
Well, it's funny. We were in Gwinnett during the trade deadline, and we were all joking. You know, I was in Durham, with Durham in Gwinnett at the time. We had several guys like, who do you guys think are getting traded? Like, the Rays are obviously going to try and make moves with their new ownership coming in. Like, they want to try and get this guy out with, like, a playoff experience. And so we were making jokes like, oh, we think this person's going to go here. You're going to get traded to this team. And one of my teammates actually made a joke that I was going to get traded to the other Chicago team. So there was jokes flying around. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm not that important to people, so whatever. And then the actual deadline comes, and like literally 15 minutes after, so I don't even push the trade deadline out of my mind. I was like, yeah, whatever, I'm getting traded, who cares? And then the manager pokes his head around the corner, gives me the cut mirror finger, and I'm like, me? Like, but no, it was a whirlwind, but it was a good experience, and very, very quick turnarounds with that sort of stuff.
Well, you're 26 and you're a right-hander, and you combine to go 7-6 with a 4.38 ERA and 150 strikeouts in 152 innings while making 28 starts last year with AA Montgomery and AAA Durham in the Tampa Bay organization and Chicago's AAA affiliate there in Charlotte. With the White Sox, you have joined an organization that lost 121 games in 2024, but they did improve to a 60-102 mark last year. So it's obviously a franchise that is still rebuilding. Now, you were eligible for the Rule 5 draft, which meant that the White Sox either had to add you to the 40-man 40-man roster or risk another team selecting you. So you had to be thrilled, you know, when you were added to the 40-man roster, because, you know, that seems to be a sign that the team thinks you have a bright future with them. Now, I know you have pitched as both a starter and a reliever in your career, you know, but are you going to be going to spring training with the, you know, the mindset that you're competing for a job in that rotation?
Yeah, and obviously when you're on the 40-man, you're showing up ready to compete to win a spot. Just the way I've had conversations with some of the staff, in particular the pitching coach, and that's the idea is show up to spring training with the idea of building up as a starter and potentially trying to break camp with the big league team as one of the rotation guys. But at the same time, wherever the opportunity is wherever the opportunity is, and any way that the team can win is the way that the team can win. If that's me pitching every fifth day, awesome. If it's me pitching one inning out of the 10 every couple of days, that's fine with me too. Any way that you get there, any way that the team wins are the two most important parts of it.
Do you feel like you're versatile enough to pretty much do any role that they ask you to do?
I'd like to believe so. I don't know how much you looked into the stats, but the stats were not pretty out of the bullpen early in the career, and I haven't pitched out of the bullpen in 2 years now, but that would be an adjustment. I'd like to believe that the stuff plays well enough but to both hands that I could potentially find some innings one way or another, wherever that may be.
Well, no, I'm a Twins fan. I know the Twins have tried something with a couple of their guys here last year where, like, it's not an opener, but like a guy that throws maybe four innings like every fourth day instead of like every fifth day. I mean, is that something the White Sox maybe?
You know, I haven't seen anything like that pop up. I know that when you're in AAA, there's some weird stuff that goes on with guys that are on the 40-man or might be added. Like, hey, we might need a guy to pitch in the big leagues here in a couple of days, so we're going to kind of hold you back a little bit, like just – so there's some weird stuff like that, but typically we wouldn't see like, oh, we're gonna have you go every fourth day on four innings. I hadn't seen that. Am I saying it's impossible? No, but it's not something I've seen.
Seems like they're always trying to find something new though, some new way to.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think baseball's probably the most analytical, as far as I can tell. It's one of the most analytical sports. There's literally a metric or three for pretty much whatever you're looking at. And so any way that a team can find an advantage is they're going to try. And sometimes teams fall flat on their face with it, and sometimes it really works out, but teams are definitely going to try.
Well, you see a lot of times in the playoffs, you know, where managers shorten the game. They maybe only have the starter go through the lineup twice, and they turn it into a bullpen game. As a starter most of your career, you know, you're probably a guy that likes to go as deep as you can into a game. But have you noticed in your career, is there a difference when you face, you know, a lineup for that third time?
Off the top of my head, or just like anecdotally, not as much. I'm sure that the stats would tell me that, yes, there is a difference. But I know that just based on the analytics, the third time through the order is always a little tougher. Anytime you can see more pitches out of the same arm, it's going to be easier to see and easier to hit. So, like you mentioned, teams shortening the game, it's all just based on what they think the analytics are going to tell them, or what their win probability is based on who's on the mound.
Well, I have to give a shout out to my old colleague at the Des Moines Register, Tommy Burke, who wrote a great story about you in the Register, and that's where I was able to get a lot of the information that we're talking about today. Tommy mentioned in his story that you recently moved to North Carolina for the remainder of the offseason. So is that just a temporary move, or is it because you know, maybe expect to start the season, you know, in Charlotte?
Well, so we're actually in Wilmington, which is about 3.5 or so hours from Charlotte. And honestly, the move was more so my wife really likes the area. She's been a traveler pretty much since the start of my baseball career, or at least professional career. And it's worked out great for her. She can go places she wants to go. She can go to Sarasota, Tucson, Wilmington now, and enjoy a lot more of that aspect of it, and to have some freedom to come visit me whenever she wants without having to live in places like Bowling Green, Kentucky, or Montgomery, Alabama, where maybe she wouldn't have as much of a good time. So, like I mentioned, she's been in Wilmington, so she really fell in love with the area and wants to start MP school, so she decided she wants to take a staff job there. And I was like, well, I'm sure I can find a place to work out. I'm only there about 3 months out of the year. It's a nice enough town. We'll give it a go. So
All right. Well, I mentioned earlier, I'm a Twins fan. I kind of checked out on them, you know, when they traded away about half their team at last year's deadline, you know, and they're going to have to rebuild here pretty quickly in order for me to get too excited about them again. And I haven't paid too much attention to the White Sox the last couple of years because, you know, they've clearly been in rebuilding mode themselves. Now, has the organization made very many moves here in the offseason to strengthen the roster, or is that still kind of a work in progress? You know, what does their pitching depth look like right now?
Yeah, I know that they just signed a pitcher, I think a left-handed pitcher. I can't remember if he's a starter or not, but a two-year deal out of a guy from over that had been playing the last couple of years overseas. They made a couple other trades at the 40-man deadline earlier this winter, and so there's been some movement. But just the team that they've had this year, I don't know how. Obviously, you mentioned you haven't really checked in on the White Sox, but their post All-Star break that this last year was actually pretty solid. They were playing pretty much 500 baseball. Obviously, that's not good enough to get you into the playoffs, right, if you're only doing that half a year. But at the same time, that's a step in the right direction. They've got some talent coming up with their pitching. Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith, Tanner Beagle, who's also out of the 40-man with me. Those are just three guys out of the several that have shown some real promise. And then you obviously have guys like Tulsa Montgomery, Kyle Teal, guys that are on their big league roster right now as the position players. And I think the White Sox are potentially going to surprise some people next year. I think that, am I saying they're a playoff team? Maybe not. They're definitely not a 100-loss team. That's for
the that division's certainly up for grabs because there's not a lot of strength there.
Yeah, I don't want to go out and say that, but anytime you can compete with your division and try and sneak your way into the playoffs is always a good time.
Well, I've also mentioned that I used to work with your mom, Amy Duncan, at the old Yankee Register and Press Citizen, and she is now the publisher of the Indianola Independent Advocate. It was through her that I was able to track you down so quickly. You know, I imagine Amy and your dad, Mark Davitt, are both excited about the possibility of you making your big league debut here in 2026. You know, have you thought about what that moment's going to be like for you and for them?
You know, I try not to get too far ahead of myself with that sort of things. And my dad always told me, we got to make the team first. So we're just trying to make the team, and whatever the reactions are is whatever the reactions are. It's kind of just a live in the moment.
Well, it's very possible that you could start the season in AAA, and then if you're doing well, you know, you might get a call in the middle of the night and be summoned to the big leagues, you know, without any advance notice, you know, possibly even to start a game. You know, are your parents prepared to hop on a plane at a moment's notice so that they can then be there for that moment?
Oh, they better be. I'd like to believe that. I can't imagine that they would miss that for the world. They've done more than I could have ever asked for. Driven me to tournaments. They've driven across the country. They've flown across the country to go see me play, and they've sacrificed a lot in that way. And there's obviously no way to thank them, but I guess if the closest thing to a thank you I can do is let them go see a baseball game in Big League Park with me on the mound, I think that's. They probably take that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be there. Well, let's go back to your high school days for a minute. When you were a sophomore at Indianola, you posted a 4-3 record with a 1.45 ERA, and you had 49 strikeouts and 53 innings of work. You know, was it about that time that you started to think that perhaps, you know, you could have a career in baseball?
Well, I've been wanting to play professional baseball probably since I was like maybe 10 or 11. And then obviously, like, okay, 10 or 11, of course you want to play professional baseball. But around that time, like you mentioned, that was around the time that I got my first collegiate offer. And I was like, okay, like we're going to college to play at least. And then as things started progressing into my junior, senior year, and I started getting some Division I interests as well as some really high level junior colleges, it's like, okay, well, hold on here. And then going into my senior year, I actually had a couple of scouts reach out and send me questionnaires. It was like, pump the brakes. This is real. Let's figure this out. And then when we get into college, it started kind of becoming clear that the work was going to be a lot harder than it seemed like in high school.
Well, yeah, by the time you were a senior in high school, you were one of the most dominant pitchers in the state. You went 11-1 with a 0.37 ERA. You had 33 strikeouts in just 75 innings. You became a top 500 prospect nationally by Perfect Game, and you eventually committed to play for Iowa. So what was it that attracted you to the Hawkeyes program?
They have done a really good job as far as their pitching development. And it's always interesting to tell people, I had three different pitching coaches in the first 2 semesters at Iowa. Two of them are now on the league staffs. And one of them, at least one of them, I would say, is probably a premier mind in baseball in general. But at the time when I was going through the recruiting process, my main contact was Desi Druschel, who's now, I believe, he's back with the Yankees. But he was always very analytically minded, really involved or really interested in developing of pitchers. And I was like, well, I know I need that. Like, yeah, you can be as dominant as you want in high school, but being dominant in high school is not the same as being dominant at the upper levels of baseball and the Division I professional ranks. And so I knew that if I wanted to play professional baseball, if I wanted to make it to the leagues, I'd need to get better. And Iowa was the best option to do that at the time.
Speaking of dominating pitchers in high school, we had one here in Ankeny not too long ago, Brody Brecht. I believe that your career there at Iowa overlapped with his by 1 year, didn't it? Was he a freshman during your last season?
Yeah, I think it was that last year. But I'll tell you what, I still am shocked he even got out of high school. I know that he didn't go play football, but man, that guy, he showed up and I was like, this dude, like, he's throwing 100, he's 18 years old, what is this going on?
So you could see that potential right away.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was very clear. And we had discussions with Coach Heller over the summer, like, yeah, we might get him, we might not, we'll see what happens in the draft. And I was like, well, yeah, obviously he's really good. And then he shows up and he's throwing like 97 in bullpen, so I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to hang out at 90, whatever.
Right.
But no, I mean, it was very clear he was different. He's a very, very good kid. I never saw the talent go to his head the way you see some guys have that happen to. He's always been a really good kid.
Yeah, seems very grounded. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've had a pretty good strikeout rate in your career. What do you usually top out
at? I got up to 96 this year once. Typically, I'll fall into that 2 to 4, maybe up to 5 every so often.
Well, if you're a starter, I mean, that's the range you want to be in, right?
Yeah, we're okay with that. It's when we start dropping into the 90-91s that we start rolling our eyes and sighing a little bit.
Well, while you were in college, you played for a summer team called the Waterloo Bucks, and that was when you got your first taste of sports broadcasting. When you weren't pitching, you'd hang out with the team broadcaster and do color commentary. You know, so you must have enjoyed that experience, huh?
Yeah, no, it was always fun. Thomas Breach was the guy's name. We chat every so often, but he was really cool about letting me come up, and he always asked me questions that I was woefully unprepared for. And it's like, I don't know, Tommy, he just needs to throw some strikes. So we were always a little bit closer. I've always been relatively close with a lot of the broadcasters that we have, a lot of the media people that we have on teams. And he was very gracious about letting me come help him out up in the booth.
Well, you went on to post an 11-5 record with a 4.74 ERA in your Iowa career from 2019 to 2022. You were then selected by the Rays in the 18th round of the 2022 draft, the 554th pick overall. Now, did you have the option to go back to Iowa for one more year or not? I guess it didn't matter if you were ready to sign. Huh?
Yeah, I had the option. So I had that COVID year, so I could have gone back. But at that point, I was like, well, I'm kind of done with it. I've got my degree. If there's an opportunity, I just want to go. This has been my dream since, like I mentioned, since I was 10. And so I was kind of ready to not cut ties, but maybe take the leap, I suppose.
All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, we're talking today with Chicago White Sox prospect Duncan Davitt, enjoying this conversation. You know, as you were making your way through the minor leagues with the Rays, Duncan, you know, you would come back to Iowa in the offseason, and that's how you started working as a part-time sports reporter for the Indianola Independent Advocate, which is owned and ran by your parents. You primarily have covered football and volleyball in the fall, and then some boys and girls basketball in the winter before you have to head back for spring training. And I'm guessing you started working for your parents because, you know, you could use a little extra money, but it also sounds like you've really, you know, embraced this profession. Is this something that you can see yourself doing, you know, when you're playing for yourself?
Potentially. I wouldn't say I wouldn't kind of boxed myself into it yet, but I think it's obviously an option. I found enjoyment with it, being able to see players like the Birmingham Sisters and Macy Comito out of Carlisle and some of the boys talent that's been around Warren County. It has been really fun, and you get to see players that are going to go on and play in college at very high levels and get to see where they kind of grew up. And it's always been fun seeing that aspect of it and kind of just getting around and meeting people that way.
Well, I was down in Indianola last summer because Ankeny played down there in a sub-state game against Indianola. Indianola's got some good baseball talent down there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was going through, we had some really good players, but some of these guys now are very, very promising. Casey Blake's son is going through right now, and people are talking about him very highly. I know that Iowa and Nebraska are both on him as far as coming there to play baseball. And I haven't gotten to see him play really just – obviously, because I'm a little busy, but he seems like he could grow into something real.
Oh yeah, and I played sports when I was a kid, and I certainly didn't reach the heights that you have as a player myself. But you know, I did okay, and I feel sometimes like I can relate to how a high school kid, you know, that I'm covering might feel after a thrilling win and an agonizing loss. Do you feel like your own experiences as an athlete have helped you in your coverage of the high school sports?
It's definitely given me a perspective on it. At the very least, it's given me the knowledge to be able to know what's going on and kind of have some understanding of maybe what a team's trying to do and whether they're successful at what they're trying to do. I would say that there's some empathy there, knowing like it's very clear that the pressure got to this kid. Maybe we need to be a little bit gentle with the questions if we do ask the kid questions, but I typically try not to talk to the kids too much after a loss or if they maybe had a poor game. They're still kids.
Right.
I mean, it's not the same as a professional. Like, hey, what happened out there? Why did you stink today? Saying that to a 17-year-old feels a little
right
to me. So
yeah.
I always try to keep it as positive as I can. I mean, in my coverage, I don't really hide the fact too much that I'm a little biased towards the Warren County teams because those are the teams we're covering and the players that we know. And it gets a little dicey when they're playing each other, but we always try to be as positive as we can with the high school athletes that they're still kids.
Sure. Yeah, sounds like you've already learned a lot. Well, it also sounds like from Tommy's story that you've really taken an interest in the game of volleyball and covering that sport. What is it about that game that you enjoy so much?
Yeah, I mean, the first real dabble into it that I had was that it was a sub-state championship game. Oh, it would have been a year or two ago now, at state. And I showed up, I really didn't know what to expect. I kind of had an understanding of it. My little cousin actually taught me a lot about the game because she plays volleyball. So I would text her and be like, hey, is this the ruling? Like, is that how it's recorded in the stats? And she's like, yes or no or whatever. And so I learned a little bit that way, but it was very fast. And very exciting in the points and stuff like that. And you had very clear breaks. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is awesome. This is so fast paced. It's so exciting. People are so into it. And so I just kind of got sucked into it. And then you go to the state tournament and the energy is just through the roof. So I got drawn into it that way. And then it's kind of gone from there.
It takes a while to learn all the jargon. I know the first time I heard the terms like, we have like a 5-1 offense and then like a 6-2 offense. I'm like, a 6-2 offense? You have 8 players out there? How do you do that?
Yeah, see, that stuff, I'm still learning that stuff. But I know what kill is now.
Yeah.
So at least we got that out.
Well, hey, have you enjoyed working for your mom? Is she a good boss?
You know, I always make that joke where somebody would be like, oh, we're going to go down to the Brick House on the Square in Indianola. And I'm like, how about my manager won't let me go because I have to go to work. And my mom's looking, just kind of leans over and kind of looks at me. He's like, are you serious right now? Like, so we always make that joke about it, but she's always been really, really good about it. I mean, she knows it's not my day job. And she allows like that kind of flexibility to her. Hey, I can't cover a game tonight. I have to go to Iowa City to do my workout for one reason or another, and she'll cut me some slack, or maybe she wouldn't cut somebody else some slack on stuff like that. So she's been very helpful.
Well, yeah, after working for your mom for many years, you know, with the old Yankee Register, I can honestly say that, you know, if you do a good job and prove that you know what you're doing, you know, she was pretty good about letting you do your job and staying out of your way. And I always appreciated that, you know, because not every boss, you know, that I've had has certainly been like that. But anyway, Duncan, it's been a pleasure to meet you. And again, I really appreciate your time today because I know how busy you are. You know, best of luck to you this season.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa, Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, real estate goals become a reality. Well, I want to thank my guest again for coming in today. Again, I really appreciated the time from Duncan Davitt. That was a fun conversation, and wish him the best of luck this season with the Chicago White Sox. And I come back next week. I think we'll have another podcast. Got to work around the holiday a little bit, but I think we got a couple things in the works. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.